CanoWeb Update News. I'm Lorelai Kaneen, and it's 8:02. The native village of Gamble declared an economic disaster last Friday due to a low walrus harvest. Unusual southwest winds, poor weather conditions, and a long, solid strip of ice prevented hunters from going hunting. Walrus shortage is leaving many in the St. Lawrence Island community hungry without their regular source of income. Gamble gets an average of 625 walrus each spring. This year, they got 108. Gloria James is with the Native Village of Gamble's Marine Mammal Advisory Committee at 17% of the typical catch. James says it's the lowest walrus harvest on record.
People are hungry. I feel really pain about it because we depended on heavily on walrus, seal, and bowhead.
James says the low take was caused by poor weather and ice conditions this spring. Historically, Gamble gets north winds that bring clear weather and a scattered ice pack. This year, southwest winds brought in cloudy, foggy, and snowy weather, and the ice in front of Gamble formed into one long, solid, impassable chunk of ice.
It was always at one, in one big line, forever and ever, until the ice is gone. We had no chance to go out and go hunt.
James says elders had warned of south winds years ago, but she's never seen anything like it in her lifetime.
People before us talked about this kind of weather. They tell us about what will happen. 60-year-old men's out there. We should have listened.
The Native Village of Gamble declared an economic disaster last week. The village is requesting aid from the state to help recover lost fuel, ammunition, and oil costs and income. James says the village is waiting to hear back from Representative Neil Foster and Senator Donnie Olson. A challenge has been filed to the Alaska Redistricting Board's latest stab at redrawing the state's political boundaries. It was filed yesterday on behalf of Fairbanks area residents George Riley and Ron Dearborn, who had sued over an earlier redistricting plan in 2011. An attorney for the men, Jason Gazewood, last week warned that a challenge to the new map was planned. The filing alleges that Fairbanks area districts, as well as two districts in the Mat-Su borough and one for the Kenai Peninsula borough, do not meet state constitutional requirements. The challenge seeks to have a master or masters appointed to advise the court on any necessary changes. An attorney for the board, Michael White, says the board believes the plan is constitutional in all respects. Coastal Villages Regional Fund, the state's largest community development quota group, has been asking for more fish for their fishermen. It would require Congress amending the Magnuson-Stevens Fishery Conservation and Management Act. In response, Alaska's congressional delegation says before pursuing changes to the program's fishing allocations, they would need a consensus. From Bethel, KYUK's Angela Denning-Barnes reports, the delegation sent a letter to the CDQ's umbrella corporation, the Western Alaska Community Development Association, which states that while we remain open to hearing from the CDQ groups, we expect any issue brought to us for resolution to be supported unanimously by all six groups. Dawson Hoover is a spokesperson for Coastal Villages Region Fund, which maintains they are not getting their fair share of fishing allocations. The organization serves 20 villages in the lower Kuskokwim region, one of the poorest in the state. They have 9,300 residents, thousands more than most other CDQ groups, and believe they should have more fish. If allocations changed the way CVRF wants them to, some other smaller groups would get less fish. The Aleutian Pribilof Island Community Development Association serves six remote communities, about 390 people. This year, they're allowed about 354,000 pounds of halibut, which would likely decrease in the future. Besides CVRF, one other CDQ group, the Norton Sound Economic Development Corporation, would profit from an allocation change by approximately $10 million a year. They serve about 9,000 residents in 15 communities in this region. Tyler Rhodes, spokesperson for NSCDC, says the board of directors does not think the allocations are perfect, but they don't want to seek any changes right now. He says since the allocations were set in 2006, the group has had a great deal of success. And Nome is in the midst of a second gold rush. The town, quite often referred to as the Gold Rush City, has seen an influx of people in the summer the past few years. KNOM is getting to know our neighbors. Meet Ian Foster. He came to Nome 4 years ago, planning to mine for the summer, but he's still here, mining full-time.
One of the things that I fell in love with was just the way that we mine up here. It's amazing. It's really incredible what it takes, the amount of commitment, the amount of knowledge that you have to have to actually make money up here. It's really amazing to me.
Foster is 34 years old. He has a degree in psychology and a minor in business from Brigham Young University. He's gone on mission to Venezuela with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and he's worked at various boarding schools for troubled youth. Throughout the years, Foster says he's also done construction and eventually got involved in media with a friend who had a small production company. He wrote news stories, interviewed different people for profiles, and shot video.
It was fun, and I enjoyed that, using that aspect of my brain and my talents. But after a while, I wanted to feel the life, you know, feel cold and wind. And there's something about the water that I just love. So that's about the time that I started looking at getting into mining.
Media was one of the reasons he was brought to Nome, as the gold rush was in its early stages. Foster says he shot some work and pitched it to the Discovery Channel. He calls it his Alice in Wonderland rabbit hole, as he's unsure what was decided with his pitch, but he was part of the first season of Bering Sea Gold, and Foster was also featured on the latest season of Under the Ice. But he says it was tiring having someone asking him questions all day about his work.
Yeah, it was absolutely crazy. And then last season, I was able to dredge alone without cameras, and that was so therapeutic. It was so nice to mine in just peace and quiet. It was great.
Well, Foster says gold mining is not as easy as it looks on television, and he has some advice for gold miners.
If you're a gold miner, you're struggling up here, you need to give some respect to some people and just stop talking and start listening. I mean, in every profession, there's rough people, and in every profession, there's people that you don't get along with. And mining is no different. But in every profession, there's also people that you respect, and there's people you look up to, and also mining is no different.
To hear more from Ian Foster, tune in to Profiles today after the 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. weather. The price of gold in New York down $16.90 an ounce to $1,318.20. An ounce of silver at $19.82, down 54 cents. It's unofficially 52 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 8 o'clock.